Welcome to Depth of Field, a change in perspective. My guest today is Tracy Woods. Tracy is an award-winning visuals director and producer. She has worked with some of the best photographers in the world, art directing, creative directing on set. She is currently the director of photography at The Loop. The Loop is a collective of 600 to 700 photographers worldwide, non-binary female visual storytellers. And Tracy oversees the visuals for that. What's that, Tracy?
I was going to say, we actually have way more than that now.
How many are there? How many members?
Over 1,000.
Wow. It's grown fast.
Worldwide.
Worldwide. Amazing. Tracy comes to us with incredible knowledge and wisdom and incredible advice. And I really wanted her to be on Depth of Field so that we could get her perspective on things and kind of understand a little bit more of where we should be going in our lives. Thank you, Tracy, for being here and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to share what knowledge I have, and hopefully it will inspire someone to create and be, you know, creative in this industry.
Yeah. And I think it's especially important now because there's definitely a big shift going on. At least I'm feeling that. I don't know if anybody else is. It's hard to know if it's just my universe or if it's everybody's universe.
I always think if you're feeling something, other people are feeling it too. It used to be, you know, photographers were in the silo and you always felt you were experiencing something that no one else was experiencing. And then as you talk to people, you realize that everyone's having the same issues and concerns. So it's, you're not in that silo anymore.
Yay. All right. I'm going to dive into the questions, Tracy, if you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. Have there been moments in your career when you felt undervalued and as if things weren't going your way? If you could describe that a little bit and then talk about, you know, what you did to get through that time.
There have been times where I felt undervalued or just not even appreciated. And sometimes it's from just people not listening to your ideas or not thinking you're the right person for an opportunity when you were. And part of that is just believing in yourself, but being an advocate. And so, sometimes you have to sit back. I've been in situations where maybe I've had someone who was that I reported to not thinking I was the right person for a particular project. And then they've come back to me years later and said, oh, I should have listened to you. Or, you know, you had great ideas, but because they were stuck in what they wanted to do, that, you know, that's the way they go. And sometimes it's me just sitting back and it's like, okay, it's going to be my turn. Don't give up. And it could be frustrating and, you know, it could be demoralizing, but I had to believe in myself. It's like, no, I know what I'm doing. You know, I'm good. I'm valuable. And I have to prove myself to people to let them know that. Me just saying it sometimes isn't enough. Sometimes you have to show people by doing something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent. So basically you in those moments, you sort of kind of went through your own practice of just kind of like positive self-talk and just telling yourself.
Positive self-talk, you know, talking to friends and sometimes it's a little smack talking within to myself.
Sure.
And, you know, they'll see one day, they'll see. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it happens. And sometimes it's nothing against you personally. It's just what someone else wants.
Yes.
And I think being a photographer, everyone experiences this.
Yeah.
They feel like, why didn't I get the job? Or why did they go with photographer A versus me? And you still have to believe in yourself. Not everyone can get the job. There's one job in, you know, 50 photographers trying to get that one job.
Yeah, a lot of rejection.
And I don't take it personally. I probably when I was younger would take things a little more personal. Like I would be, oh, they don't like me, or, you know, woe is me. And then, you know, you kind of have to slap yourself and say, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
My time will come.
Yeah. I agree with that. I also feel like, yeah, just kind of feel like, yeah, you know, it's okay. There's so many other things at play than our experience.
This is an industry that's not just, it's a little talent and a lot personality and a lot like just relationships.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of meld all those together.
Mm-hmm. What inspires you and how do you find inspiration?
Well, I find inspiration just by looking at other photography, I used to love looking at photo books. Also, just reading things outside of photography. I used to sew. I used to do weaving. I did a lot of other artistic pursuits that weren't necessarily photography, but it was an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to shoot flowers and just like more abstract imagery just to kind of get my creative juices flowing.
I love that. So you shoot stuff for yourself. Something that
I do, and not as much as I like to. And I probably do a lot more just with my phone because I always have it with me and try to use that almost as like a sketchbook to come up with ideas. I used to carry a sketchbook with me and I'd write things down in it. I haven't done it in a while. I used to do like a dream journal because that was supposed to help be more intuitive in terms of your creating or what you create, just like things that you find, you know, out in your everyday life where, you know, you're going to the grocery store, you're going to, you know, meet a friend for dinner or, you know, whatever you're doing, you're going to work. You see things that just catch your eye. So I want to capture those so I can remember it and then see what it can do later for me. Like what can I get out of this to create something?
I love that. You've worked with some of the best photographers in the world. Is there a common denominator amongst them, in your opinion? And what makes them stand out?
Yeah, I don't know if there's one common denominator, but I think it's a little bit of passion. It's professionalism. It's creativity. And also, I want to like the people I work with, whether if it's, you know, a continuous relationship, or even if it's just this one project. We're not saving lives here. We're creating something that's artistic and should be fun. And you want to have fun on set doing it. Mm-hmm. The days are long and grueling. So why not enjoy what we're doing? You know, it's not that regular 9-to-5 kind of mentality where you go to work at 9 o'clock and then you're done at 5 and then you're just, you know, done with your job for the day. This is something that's being a photographer and being any type of creative, you are always kind of thinking and doing. And especially if you're working for yourself as a freelance photographer, you are always that there's no 9-to-5. You're working sometimes 7 days a week between coming up with new ideas, testing, paperwork. It's all of that networking, you know, trying to meet the people who will hire you, the other creatives who will hire you.
Yeah.
So I think the one common denominator is passion.
Yeah.
Passion, creativity, and I think just kindness.
I love that.
And being respectful. I don't want to work with anyone who's rude, or, you know, if you're rude to your assistant and disrespectful, especially in front of a client, that's showing a lack of character, I think.
I completely agree. Yeah, I think that would be hard to get away with that right now, any kind of bad behavior. But I'm sure it happens.
Yeah, and I would hear stories of, you know, oh, someone, you know, back in the day, they threw a chair across the table acted crazy with their assistant. And there's just no need for that.
Yeah, 100% agree. What do you think are the skills a photographer should encompass? You kind of said a lot of it already: passion, creativity, kindness, respect, professionalism. Is there anything else you think, any other skills in your opinion,
there are some photographers who go into this industry and they see it as just this creative outlet. But when it comes down to it, it's a business. So if you can learn any type of, like, take a like an online business course, like most cities, I know New York has this where, like, if you're a small business owner, you can have a lot of resources for free to help you kind of run a business. Like, you have to learn, you know, speak to an accountant. You have to insure the shoot. How do you pay everyone out? Are you going to use a payroll service? Are you going to pay them yourself? Are you going to, you know, make sure they get their 1099s? It's all of this that happens throughout the year. And then how do you market yourself?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, you're like the first person that's talked about taking a business course or a class. And I would, man, I think it should be like, if you're becoming a photographer, it should be one of the first things you do, because at the end of the day, it's a business.
What advice do you have any photographers who are feeling stuck and unsure of where they're going in their careers?
I have a couple of things to say. I think if someone's feeling unstuck or unsure, you know, where they're going in their careers, they should have their like group, their community that they reach out to lean on, get advice, talk ideas through, and the good things and the bad things, like the highs and the lows. Some organizations like the Loop are perfect for those photographers, where you have a community that's built in where you can reach out, ask questions, get advice, share resources. Mm. And if somebody doesn't want to join a group, they can, you know, just have the few people that they reach out to that they lean on to kind of advise. They're your accountability partners, where you think you're working in the silo, but you're not. Everyone's kind of experiencing the same things. If you think you've reached a low, sometimes when I'm talking to photographers, especially in a group setting, when someone says, you know, this has happened to them, or they're experiencing this right now, and then, you know, five other photographers say the same thing, that person who started it says, oh, I'm not alone. There are people out there going through the same thing, and they're all at various skill levels, or, you know, not even skill levels. They're various stages in their career. So having that person you can call on and, you know, reach out to, I think, is really important.
I agree. I also think I would add to that, change your perspective, go outside, get in nature, take a walk. You mentioned that earlier. One of the things that you do for yourself is...
Yeah, get out of... Just put your camera down and get out of photography. Just do something else. Go read a book, go ride a bike, go to a museum or a movie. Just do something that's not related to your career. And that helps you... It gives you perspective. It may spark ideas, and you never know where like that inspiration comes from. So if I was, you know, visiting family, we go on little nature hikes, and I'm out in nature, and I'm always inspired by nature and the trees, and I'm stopping to take like photos with my camera, and, you know, my family's waiting, like they're way ahead of me, saying that I'm too slow, because I'm like, but look at this. And then they'll look at the photos and say, wow, this is great. And it just sparks something that's not relating to like what I do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. It's so important to do that.
And you should do that all the time. Not just, even if it's a half hour a day, just go for a walk. If you have more time, maybe you have like a few hours during the week where you can really go and do something that not related. Like, is it listening to live music? Is it going to the ballet? Is it, you know, and if money's a problem, there's so many organizations where there's free things to do. Museums have a free night. So there's so many things that you can, and resources that you can take advantage of. Take a class. Like, you know, as I said, I used to sew all the time. And then that led me to quilting. I did some quilting that led me to, like, I always loved textiles and fabric, and I have some friends who are interior designers. So I started getting into that crowd, and we'd go to like all the interior design fairs, and I started just getting inspiration that way. I did weaving classes.
That's so cool. I love that.
And it's something that it's still a creative outlet, but it's just not my photography. It's just something different.
Yeah. Taking a mental break, an emotional break from it.
Yeah, I would come home from work from my, you know, regular day job, whether it's a studio manager or a photo editor, and I would spend hours like sewing on my sewing machine. I started making pillows for people. I was like, oh, I'm going to make everyone's Christmas gift. And I just really got into it.
Wow. That's awesome. I love that.
And I would spend all night like doing this and realizing, oh, I got to get up and go to work. But this is so fun because I wanted to finish something. Wow. It wasn't until someone asked me to make them something. Then it turned into a job. It's like, yeah, I don't want to do that. I'm just doing this for myself. Like, I'll make something for you, like, to give as a gift, but I don't want it to be a job.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so funny. I love that you were doing that. I wish I could deep dive into something like that.
It was probably a little obsessive, too. I'd go to the fabric stores. Oh, let's go call friends. What are you doing? You want to go walk around the fabric district with me? They're like, okay, sure. And then I had those friends who started sewing and doing those type of outlets too. So it's fun.
That's great. Do you see a change in the photography industry, and where is photography going? That's a huge question, but I guess the first one is there a change in the photo industry, and do you have any insight on where you think it might be going?
Well, I think photography is always evolving and changing. The trends change. So what is kind of popular style now wasn't, you know, popular 10, 15 years ago. Like, so yeah. It's always evolving that way. I also think there are more photographers who are getting recognition in terms of getting work and getting their name out there that you didn't see before. So there's a lot more photographers of color. There's a lot more female photographers and non-binary photographers that are doing things that are getting noticed. So mm-hmm. I think that's a great change. And I think hopefully that will still continue. I don't know. I know AI's been on the topic of a lot of conversations. AI is not going to take away people's jobs. I think it's just going to be a tool like Photoshop was. Mm-hmm. When Photoshop first came around, people were, you know, that generation of photographers who didn't grow up with Photoshop, they were traditional, you know, there was no digital photography. There was, everything was analog, you know, mm-hmm. there were a million photo labs. So things did change slightly because digital became more prevalent, but the heart of image making still stayed the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I just think it's going to be another tool. You know, you use it to create your mood board. You might have some crazy ideas of what you want to do. Use it to create a mood board and then execute your vision.
Yeah, I've heard of photographers doing that. I think it's a great idea. I'm not worried about AI at all. I do think that, at least from what I can tell, that the industry is shifting. And I think social media is kind of the direction it's going. At least a lot of the requests I'm getting, you know, the last two jobs I did were 100% for social.
That definitely has, in the last maybe 3 to 5 years, maybe more, it's social media marketing. It used to be more traditional print. You'll find people who don't do print anymore. And it's everything is, I needed to go on TikTok, Instagram, their website. It's everything social media.
Yeah.
And whatever new social media that's going to come up in the future, you know, just think about it. Instagram, what started in 2012, I think. It's only, 11 years old. TikTok just came about the last few years. And they're kind of like, TikTok is almost, I don't know if it's surpassing Instagram, but it, you know, Instagram kind of said we need to, you know, do our own thing, and they came up with Reel. So it's still that kind of, how do we stay relevant as something new keeps coming up?
Yeah. I'm specifically thinking, like, I'm going to go to the reference the next question I have for you, and it's related to social media content creators, you know, making reels.
Well, I think people have already been doing that. Like, content creators have been around since the beginning of Instagram maybe a few years after Instagram came about. Well, first they were influencers, I should say. They were influencers. Then it became content creators. And I know a lot of people use the word creators instead of photographers, or video is becoming more prevalent too. Mm-hmm. So not only are you expected to shoot a still image, they want you to do some type of motion, whether it is GIFs, you know, use from your still imagery, or shooting actual video. So I think that's become a lot more prevalent in terms of what the industry is going to. Like, you'll see brands now want you to do everything.
All in the same day.
All in the same day. It's like, okay, we have this day, we need to get XYZ. And sometimes they want too much in that day because you know what you can realistically do. I've been in a situation where I've, you know, told clients, like, okay, what you're asking for is a 2-day shoot. But they don't want to do the 2-day shoot.
I'm
telling you right now, we're not going to get all this content. It's just too much to do in that day. And then when you're shooting and then they realize, oh, we're not going to get all the content. It's like, yeah, because that's what I said that. But sometimes they have to see it from themselves.
Yeah.
So I think, definitely more motion and video is going to be part of the photographer's job. And then we're called creators now. We're not just photographers. Sometimes I get weird with the word creators because it just, I'm like, well, I'm a photographer, not a creator. But mm-hmm. I mean, you're creating.
Yeah.
When I think of the word creator, I don't think of someone who's professional. And that's probably my own bias. Mm-hmm. I think of it could be the hobbyist, but that's not true. Like, I think that's just my own bias.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. And I do. Yeah. I sat down with this amazing creator a couple weeks ago, and he's like a full on videographer, you know, and he just so happened to tap into this content creation market and made this incredible name for himself, and is just sticking with social media content creation. Because he makes more money and he's able to stay closer to home. And
what I get confused too is, if I'm a content creator, am I just creating, you know, is a brand reaching out to me because I have this following and I get to kind of do what I want, or I just have to highlight the product versus hire a photographer and sit down and think about what our end goal is in terms mm-hmm. of creating something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, in reference to this one particular person, they basically like directly have restaurants reach out to them directly. And they're like, hey, we want you to make a reel for us. And this is how much we're willing to pay, you know, and he's just doing it for, you know, small businesses who don't know how to make reels and don't really understand social media. So you're making content on a smaller level, but you're direct to your client, cutting out any kind of middleman. And a lot of times, you know, I find that he's probably, you know, coming up with a concept, making it. I mean, he's doing a lot more than just creating content. I don't know. I think that happens a lot more than maybe the loop sees, because it's happening directly to photographers. You know, there's like a one-on-one outreach.
Well, I do hear that you'll have a brand who comes to you, especially if it's a small brand, and they would say, oh, we used to hire like a bunch of influencers, but mm-hmm. we didn't really like the imagery because they wanted something that was kind of that UGC, which is, mm-hmm. you know, user generated content, but on a professional look mm-hmm. and level. So you want to go to actual photographers to create this.
Yeah.
But they want the influence or the reach that the influencer can have. Like, if an influencer has 50,000 followers or 100,000 followers, that's what they're trying to get.
Yeah. I think that's the difference between the influencer and the content creator, because, and maybe I'm wrong, but at least what I've noticed is that, yeah, I mean, still you do have to have a following, which is kind of a bummer because it really doesn't come down to work. It comes down to, you know, how much you post and how many eyes can you attract. And
exactly. So maybe that definitely is a change that I do see, that where people want that, or brands want that kind of reach and following through the people that they're hiring.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. And I'm curious as to how much that's going to grow, you know?
I think it's something that's been growing consistently in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. So don't know if it will fall off.
Maybe, yeah.
Will it just kind of level off and be the same? Or I think a lot of times, especially young people who are, maybe you're still in high school, you're in college, and you're trying to figure out what you want to do. And they see that as something that's easy for them to do. And so they try to build that following. I think, harking back into what you were asking earlier about what photographers can do to enhance their careers, or what things that they should know. And I talked about having business classes. Maybe it's also having social media classes, and also how to put together a reel or TikTok, or, you know, whatever the platform is that's engaging and can open new opportunities for photographers.
Yeah.
So, and you could sell your services. Well, I'm a professional photographer, so you're going to have great lighting, you're going to have this, and, you know, concept, and it, you know, will look great.
It's another tool. It's another tool for your toolbox.
Yeah. When I look at reels, I'm like, how do you do that? Like, I should take a class in that myself. Come up with the ideas to do that. Yeah. And, you know, there was the trend where everything's a trend too, where it's the getting the outfit trend, where someone's jumping and their outfit changes, or there's the freeze and pan trend. Everything comes down to trends and what they think will go viral.
Yeah. It's an interesting time. Tracy, where can people go to learn more about you?
They can learn more about me at my website. It's tracywoods.com, and that's TRACEYWOODS.com. And they can learn about The Loop at theloop.com, and that's TheLuupe.com.
Awesome.
And also on our social media. So the Instagram handle for The Loop is The Loop, and then I'm Tracy C's.
Awesome. Is there anything else that you want to share? Anything that's inspired you or helped you through a tough time, a book, an album, anything interesting that you think would relate back to this conversation that you want to share?
I can share one of my favorite books by photographer Andre Kertész, who in his later years, I guess it probably was in the late 70s or early 80s, where he wasn't mobile and couldn't really walk around and shoot. He would shoot from his window. He's doing Polaroids. I was obsessed with Polaroid. I did half of my thesis on Polaroid.
Wow.
Very cool. And he did, he shot Polaroids. It was called From My Window. And there are these just beautiful little still lives. He was, you know, one of these guys who was shooting like kind of street photography in Europe and catching in the moment things like Bresson. And when I saw that book, I was like, I saw it I remember in a photo bookstore. There used to be a store in New York. It's not there, like a photographer's place.
Oh yeah. Are you sure? Did it close down after the pandemic?
Someone told me it closed down. I haven't been there in a long time. I used to love going to that book store
and
just spending hours looking at photo books and getting inspired. And I remember I either saw it there or a library. I don't remember where I saw it. And I had to hunt this book down because nobody had it. It's out of print. And it's something I just look at because here's someone, you know, who made his living taking with his eyes, taking photographs, And then as his, you know, as he aged and he had health challenges, he still found a way to shoot. That is inspiration to me. Like taking something that you think might devastate someone and turning it into like a positive, like, okay, mm-hmm. I can't go out and do the street photography I do, but like, let me do this.
Yeah.
So that was literally one of my favorite books. I carry it from apartment to apartment.
Oh, that's amazing. So it's From My Window?
Yeah, From My Window. And Kertesz is K-E-R-T-E-S-Z, Andre.
Awesome. Wow, Tracy, thank you so much for all your sage advice and your wisdom. Everybody, the entire staff at Depth of Field, all one of us is grateful. Thank you again for being here. Everybody, thank you for listening and watching Depth of Field. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts. It's also a YouTube channel if you want to check it out. Thank you, Tracy, again. I hope you have a beautiful rest of the week. I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a joy to speak with you, and hopefully I can if I can inspire one person, then I think we're good.
Absolutely. I've been inspired, so we're good. Thank you, Tracy. I'll talk to you soon.